The year has seen a host of buzzy companies come to public markets, such as Coinbase, Robinhood, and Rivian. But the stock prices of these market noobs has been anything but hot. Julie, it is interesting to see a lot of these companies. We've talked to many of the executives leading them. They have, in most cases, very compelling stories. But again, I mean, a lot of these stocks have just been absolute duds here on public markets.
Yeah, I don't know. In most cases, do they have very compelling stories? In many cases, they do, certainly. I do think, you know, particularly some of the SPACs that have come public this year, as public market investors have discovered, are not always what they're cracked up to be. And there just have been so many that perhaps have come to market earlier than they should have. So I think that's part of this phenomenon as well, that just less mature companies, pre-revenue companies, are coming to market in much higher numbers than investors perhaps had been used to, at least not maybe since the dot-com bubble. And the other thing that we've been talking about a lot this morning that I think really feeds into what we've seen from these debuts has been the later in the year rollover. And that chart we were just showing sort of illustrates that. That, courtesy of the Wall Street Journal, shows how many of these stocks were trading above their initial price earlier in the year and then rolled over later in the year. So at this point, according to their analysis, only 34% of all IPO stocks were trading above that initial price. And this just shows this loss in momentum in this these sort of what I called thirsty cash stocks earlier in the year. Earlier in the year, a lot of liquidity out there, a lot of investors wanting to get in and find opportunities. And that enthusiasm just waned as the year went on. We saw stimulus waning. We saw, of course, Delta and then Omicron coming to the fore. And so all of that seemed to put a dampening effect on those momentum stocks. So I don't know if we can just sort of lump in these debuts along with meme stocks and crypto and some of the other things that sort of rolled over as the year went on.
Well, you look at some of these IPOs, Julian, and you got to think, you know, they're coming to market really with full valuations. I'll look right at Coinbase and Robinhood for that one. And the market at some point a couple months ago was not favoring these high multiple stocks. You saw those drawdowns. You've seen early investors in many of these names dump shares. And then lastly, too, Julie, I think just investors have gotten a lot smarter, that they have to go back and really scrutinize these business models, these investor presentations, these prospectuses. And in most cases, what they have come out or come away with probably is that it's going to be a long road for some of these businesses to make consistent profits and then also generate consistent cash flow that they can reinvest in their business and eventually perhaps return it to investors via dividends or stock buybacks.
Yeah, it feels like there's a long way to go before some of that. The other thing I would mention is this trend is not over in terms of this blockbuster IPO market necessarily. There are 900 private companies globally that are worth $1 billion or more. I mean, we used to talk about, like, a unicorn used to be rare. That was the whole point of calling the thing a unicorn, is that $1 billion valuation in a private company was not something you saw a lot of. Now there are so many of these things. And I think many of them have sort of rethought how they want to enter the public markets and when they want to enter the public markets because of this loss in momentum. But I think it's safe to say maybe it won't be as busy a year next year, but it still feels like it's going to be busy.
Yeah, we talked to a lot of M&A bankers here, and I would say one of the main takeaways is that the pipeline for next year is pretty strong. But to your point, maybe not as strong as this year, but nonetheless, that pipeline is looking good. I should mention, though, one IPO that has performed well is Sneaker Maker On Holding. Stock priced at $24 back on its mid-September IPO day, and now is trading at about $35 a share. We recently caught up with the company's co-CEOs to check out their plans for the year ahead.
I think for us, it's been very important since a long time to be extremely agile and nimble on how we're approaching things. And what you're seeing right now is you're seeing a lot of disruptions on the demand side, but then also on the supply side, lots of disruptions in the freight market. And so what we've been up to is really kind of balancing that out. We continue to diversify. We're entering new countries. We're actually in January and February above the capacity that we originally planned back in June. So we're very, very happy on where we stand from a supply perspective.
And you guys have also been diversifying in terms of product, right? When you reported your last quarter, your apparel sales are way up as a percentage of your overall sales. And I'm curious what the goal is for that side of the business. In other words, what is the, Martin, I'll ask this one to you. What does the appropriate mix look like for you between apparel and footwear?
Well, we are looking less at the mix. So apparel is obviously at a very earlier stage than our footwear business. We started with apparel back in 2016, but it's growing much stronger than footwear. So it will be a very important pillar of growth for the future. And we are very excited about many new products that are coming next year, especially in the area of buttons and insulated jackets and outer layers. But at the same time, our footwear business is still extremely strong across running, outdoor, performance all day. So for us, it's about growing all the different businesses, but less about how much share apparel will be in the future.
Yeah, Mark, I know the team puts a lot of pride in its innovation and the product pipeline as well. What's your biggest innovation that we need to be on the lookout for next year?
I mean, there's lots to come, but definitely I want to highlight Clean Cloud, which we announced, where we basically take carbon emissions and we're intending to make a midsole and outsole out of that. Please look out and watch out for Cyclone, which is our fully recyclable and circular product that comes in a subscription model. Very, very important. But then we're also looking at amazing innovation in the running space. So we're relaunching the Cloud. We're bringing a Cloud Monster, a Cloud Runner. And all of these products come with a way higher share of sustainable materials than in the past. So we're very, very happy with that progress. And we're very happy that we can, you know, continue to ignite the human spirit through movement and bring an amazing feeling to runners' feet.
Guys, I want to ask you both, now that you have been a public company for several months, how that's been, if there is anything that's particularly surprised you about the difference between being public and being privately held, if there's any big learning that you have taken away. I mean, I want to get both of your takes on that. Martin, let's get you first on this.
Well, first of all, I think the IPO itself was a very emotional moment for all of us. And I think we were very fortunate that we hit the moment where actually our teams all around the world could at least meet in the office and celebrate that moment a bit before we now all have to separate again. So there was a lot of positive energy that came out of it. And at the same time, we are at a new starting line of delivering on our mission to ignite the human spirit through movement. So it maybe took like 2 weeks of digesting that whole situation. And then we all fully went back into the business and the opportunities that we have there, and also the volatility that we see on the supply side, but overall we really see that it ignited a lot of positive energy into the company and into our partners as well. We've just been at the running event in Austin, one of the biggest trade shows for Run Specialty, and also there was a lot of positive feedback and pride from our retail partners about that milestone.